Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. As you witness this baptism, take hold of your own baptism and your daily return to the font as you renounce again the devil and confess faith in the triune God. Dearly beloved, Christ our Lord says in the last chapter of Matthew, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you." In the last chapter of Mark, our Lord promises, "Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved." And the Apostle Peter has written, "Baptism now saves you." The Word of God also teaches that we are all conceived and born sinful and are under the power of the devil until Christ claims us as his own. Therefore, depart, you unclean spirit, and make room for the Holy Spirit in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Receive the sign of the holy cross built upon your forehead and upon your heart to mark you as one redeemed by Christ the crucified. Let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, according to your strict judgment, you condemned the unbelieving world through the flood. Yet according to your great mercy, you preserved believing Noah and his family, eight souls in all. You drowned hard-hearted Pharaoh and all his hosts in the Red Sea, yet led your people Israel through the water on dry ground, foreshadowing this washing of your holy baptism. Through the baptism in the Jordan of your beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, you sanctified and instituted all waters to be a blessed flood and a lavish washing away of sin. We pray that you would behold summer Juliet, according to your boundless mercy, and bless her with true faith by the Holy Spirit, that through this saving flood, all sin in her, which has been inherited from Adam, and which she herself has committed since, will be drowned and die. Grant that she be kept safe and secure in the holy ark of the Christian Church, being separated from the multitude of unbelievers, and serving your name at all times with a fervent spirit, and a joyful hope, so that with all believers in your promise, she would be declared worthy of eternal life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Hear the Holy Gospel according to St. John. They brought young children to Jesus that he might touch them, but the disciples rebuked those who brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was greatly displeased and said to them, "Let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it." And he took them up in his arms, put his hands on them, and blessed them. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Summer Juliet, do you renounce the devil?
Yes, I renounce him.
Do you renounce all of his works?
Yes, I renounce him.
Do you renounce all his ways?
Yes, I renounce him.
Do you believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth?
Yes, I believe.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead.
Yes, I believe.
Do you believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting?
Yes, I believe.
Summer of Juliet, do you desire to be baptized? Summer of Juliet, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Who has given you the new birth of water and of the Spirit, and has forgiven you all your sins, strengthening you with his grace for life everlasting.
Amen.
Please stand for prayer. Let us pray. Almighty, most merciful God and Father, we thank and praise you that you graciously preserve and enlarge your family, and have granted Summer Juliet the new birth of holy baptism, and made her a member of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, and an heir of your heavenly kingdom. We humbly implore you that as she has now become your child, you would keep her in her baptismal grace, that according to your good pleasure, she may faithfully lead a godly life to the praise and honor of your name, and finally, with all your saints, obtain the promised inheritance in heaven, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Peace be with you. Continue with the words of the intro.
Light yourself in the Lord,
and he will give you the desires of your heart.
Commit your way to the Lord.
Trust in him, and he will act.
He will bring forth your righteousness as the light,
and your justice as the new day.
Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him.
Do not fret over the one who prospers in his way, over the man who carries out evil devices.
Oh,
O God, whose strength is made perfect in weakness, grant us humility and childlike faith, that we may please you in both will and deed, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Old Testament reading for the seventh Sunday in Martyr's Tide is from the book of the prophet Jeremiah, the 11th chapter. The Lord made it known to me, and I knew. Then you showed me their deeds. But I was like a gentle lamb led to the slaughter. I did not know it was against me. They devised schemes, saying, let us destroy the tree with its fruit. Let us cut him off from the land of the living, that his name be remembered no more. But, O Lord of hosts, who judges righteously, who tests the heart and the mind, let me see your vengeance upon them, for to you have I committed my cause. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Behold, God is my helper.
The Lord is the upholder of my life.
O God, save me by your name.
And vindicate me by your might.
O God, hear my prayer.
Give ear to the words of my mouth.
For strangers have risen against me. Ruthless men seek my life.
They do not set God before themselves.
Behold, God is my helper.
The Lord is the upholder of my life.
He will return the evil to my enemies.
In your faithfulness, put an end to them.
With a free will offering, I will sacrifice to you.
I will give thanks to your name, O Lord, for it is good.
For he has delivered me from every trouble.
And my eye has looked in triumph.
Behold, God is my helper.
The Lord is the upholder of my life.
The reading from the letters is from the letter of St. James, the third and fourth chapters. Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. What causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? You desire and do not have, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. You adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you suppose it is to no purpose that the Scripture says, he yearns jealously over the Spirit that he has made to dwell in us.
but he gives more grace. Therefore it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be wretched, and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 9th chapter. The disciples went on from there and passed through Galilee, and Jesus did not want anyone to know, for he was teaching his disciples, saying to them, "The Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men, and they will kill him, and when he is killed, after 3 days he will rise." But they did not understand the saying, and were afraid to ask him. And they came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he asked them, "What were you discussing on the way?" But they kept silent, for on the way they had argued with one another about who was the greatest. And he sat down and called the 12, and he said to them, "If anyone would be first, he must be last of all and servant of all." And he took a child and put him in the midst of them, and taking him in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever receives one such child in my name receives me, and whoever receives me receives not me, but him who sent me." This is the gospel of the Lord. Having heard the word, what do you believe?
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. In the Gospel reading, we heard, first of all, Jesus predict his own suffering and death and resurrection. And then on the way, the disciples had argued with one another about who was the greatest. Jesus responded by saying, "If anyone would be first, he must be last of all and servant of all." And he took a child and put him in the midst of them, and taking him up in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever receives one such child in my name receives me, and whoever receives me receives not me, but him who sent me." This is our text. Have you ever noticed that when Jesus teaches, his disciples and followers have an amazing ability to not get what he says? They seem to miss what he's saying. In fact, they often seem to go in the exact opposite direction of what our Lord says. The failure is perhaps most obvious when Jesus speaks in a simple, clear way about what's coming, and they just don't get it. This happens, surprisingly, each time that Jesus predicts his suffering, death, and resurrection. We call these the passion predictions. Passion here means a suffering or an agony. His suffering, an agony of death. In the Gospel of Mark, there are three passion predictions that Jesus makes, including the one we heard today. The Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men, and they will kill him, and when he is killed, after 3 days, he will rise. But when the disciples hear those words, it's as if it goes in one ear and right out the other. In fact, the same thing happens in each one of the three passion predictions in the Gospel of Mark. Each time, there's a failure to really understand. The disciples hear the most profound, the most revealing teaching of Jesus, and they just don't get it. They show themselves to be blind. They show themselves to be lacking any understanding of what Jesus came to do or of what his coming means for them. Consider the three times. The first time Jesus says that he's going to suffer, die, and rise, Saint Peter pulls Jesus aside and rebukes him to his face. Peter presumes to know better than Jesus. The third time, when Jesus predicts his suffering and death, James and John, immediately after that, come up to him and say, "You know, would you mind if James sits on one side and I sit on the other in your kingdom?" They seek the places of honor. Jesus has been talking about death, and they're talking about the best places to sit. And then there's the one we heard today. Jesus speaks about his suffering and death. He will be killed and he will rise on the third day. And then they go on the road. They're walking along the way. And later Jesus casually asks them and says, "So what were you guys talking about back there?" Like a parent speaking to children. And suddenly they just clam up. Because Jesus knows. Like sheepish children, they remain silent, because right after Jesus said that he was going to be killed and rise, they were discussing with one another which of them is the greatest. I wonder how that conversation went. Peter, perhaps, advocating for his place of priority because he's one of the boldest disciples. Maybe Andrew saying he's the greatest because he's the one who invited Peter to come follow Jesus. Maybe Matthew, because Matthew was a tax collector. He's pretty good at reading and writing and arithmetic. Who knows about the others? On the way, they argued with one another about who was the greatest. Think about that. Right after hearing the proclamation that Jesus would suffer, die, and rise again, all they can talk about is which one of them is better. It makes me wonder sometimes, because every Sunday we gather, we hear about the suffering, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and I wonder what we end up talking about as we go forward, as we go on the way, downstairs or in the parking lot, if there are ever disputes among us, ever things we're angling for, ever times when we're trying to one-up one another with who is the greatest. In the gospel, in the epistle reading from the book of James today, we heard how James rebuked the Christians for their passions getting carried away. Their passions being, in that case, not their suffering and agony for the sake of others, but the emotions that they have that are suffering to be the best, the desires they have to be above one another. St. James identifies those rivalries, that bitterness, as the root of much sin and evil among people, including among Christians. The danger that the disciples are facing, a danger that faces us as well, is the danger of pride. If you think about what pride is, and we do have a way in our culture and society of using pride as a positive thing, but the scriptures never speak of pride positively. Pride is always the desire to look up above oneself. And by looking up, I don't mean looking up so that you see the world around you, but looking up and trying to get higher and higher and higher, trying to be on the top. And you know what happens when one is consumed with pride, or one is tempted by pride, and you begin looking up at what you can grasp, you miss everyone who is down below. You miss the people that you should be seeing and looking at. And so it was with the disciples. In their pride, they were striving to be the greatest, trying to argue which one of them was to have the priority. And they were missing exactly what Jesus would have them be and what he would have them do. They were overlooking one another, and they were overlooking those to whom Jesus would send them to care. The sinful heart is filled with bitter jealousy and selfish ambition. The sinful heart, because it is filled with that bitter jealousy and selfish ambition, because it is so often consumed with pride, causes hostility and conflicts and quarrels, even among Christians. But James tells us that God opposes the proud. With his law, he comes to crush those who are proud and to bring them and to bring us to repentance. What do you think the disciples thought after they'd been arguing about which one of them was the greatest, and Jesus sits them down and brings a child into their midst? A child, one of the littlest and the least. They're wanting to be on top. They're seeking to look out for themselves. They're looking for the places of priority. And instead, Jesus calls a little one and exalts the little one in their midst, one who is small and one who is weak. There was a beautiful saying of St. Augustine about pride, and he compared a person to a tree. He said, if you look at a tree, and I think this is what I've heard at least, you look at one of the maple trees in our area, it's often said that one of those trees has roots that are as deep as the canopy is high above. St. Augustine said, observe a tree and how it tends downward first, that it may then shoot upwards. If you have a tree that big that has no root, it's just going to get knocked over in the wind or in a storm. But they fasten their roots low in the ground that it may send forth its top into the heavens. And the comparison is this. They go low before they go high. Is it not from humility that it endeavors to rise? But without humility, it will never attain high things. It will simply grow up into the air without a root. And it will not have growth, but it will collapse. So also for us. If we would seek to be high and exalted, let us stick our roots low. Let us dig deep. Let us in humility be the lowest and the least. Jesus would have the disciples learn that it is not a striving for who is the greatest, but rather a seeking after which of them will be the lowest. Which of them is willing to stoop down and to serve and to love and to humble themselves. And the reality is this, that Jesus is the one who stoops lowest of all. No matter how low Peter may kneel, no matter how low James or John may get, Jesus is the one who kneels lowest of all. He brings that child into their midst, and he turns that child into a little lesson for them. He receives a child, a little child, who isn't trying to be the greatest or the best, but is simply trying to be a little one. And our Lord receives that little one with hospitality. It's as if the disciples are reaching way up high in their desire to be the greatest, and Jesus instead comes and he reaches way down low, and he kneels with that child right in front of them. Sometimes I think that we have the idea that theology and the Christian faith are stuff for adults, or that the church and the services of the church are adult business. Sometimes we may fall into the temptation of thinking that children are not to be seen or heard. Every Sunday, of course, we're disabused of that notion, one way or another. Are children disruptive at times? Yes. Can they be distracting? Yes. Does the real stuff of the church involve adults? No. Our Lord is the one who grabs children and he exalts them and raises them up. And consider who he was. He was God in human flesh. And yet he did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped or latched onto or held onto, but instead he made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death upon a cross. Our Lord was the greatest one of all. And yet in his humility, he received little ones by dying and rising for them. Our Lord came to give his life for every single human being, including every single child, including the child who we receive with joy today, Summer Juliet, baptized into Christ. There is no one who is too small, no one who is too weak, no one who is too little to escape the notice of our Lord. Because as high as he is, he came as low as possibly could be. As low as the cross and as low as the grave. Which means that though we often are consumed with pride, though we too have fallen into that trap of trying to be or seeking to be or arguing about who is the greatest, who serves the most, though we too have fallen into sin, our Lord has not overlooked us. But he sees us, poor, pitiful sinners, and he shed his blood on the cross for you and for me. He shed his blood for us, and he has given us new life, that we may die to our pride and that we may live for others. That we may die to our pride and we may rise in humility. That we too would not grasp for what is highest, but we would look at what is lowest. Care for the little ones in our midst, the little children, the weak adults, those with needs. Our life gave his life for the care of them and for the care of you. So let us also, following Christ, knowing that he died for us, that his blood has covered our sins, that our greatness has been brought low, and in our humility we have been raised up through Christ. Let us set aside our own wishes. Let us set aside our own desires. Let us set aside our own hopes and dreams and fantasies and work to care for those who are lowest and least, to love the little ones. Jesus even puts himself in the place of the child, because he says, whoever receives one such child in my name receives me. May we too receive the little ones in the name of Jesus Christ. And may we see ourselves as little ones whom Jesus also receives. Whom he receives through baptism. Whom he receives by shedding his blood for us and giving his body and blood to us from this altar. Here is the one who is greatest of all, who has humbled himself, who comes and kneels before us, who is even willing to place his flesh and blood into our mouths, that we may be raised up with him, not only in this life, but in the life of the world to come. Jesus, the greatest one, receives the little ones, including you, through his death and resurrection. In his name, amen. The peace that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.
Thanksgiving sacrifice and call on the name of the Lord.
O Lord, my strength, I love you.
Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. O Lord of hosts, you oppose the proud and give grace to the humble. Help us by your Spirit to submit ourselves to you and resist the devil, that he would flee from us. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of hosts, give our synod's leaders and all pastors the wisdom that comes down from above, especially Pastor Joe Nolet, as he serves the saints at Our Savior in Topsfield, that they may be peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. Let them sow among us in peace and grant a harvest of righteousness. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of hosts, pacify our passions by your Spirit, that we may not be ruled by the jealousy and selfish ambition that give rise to disorder and every vile practice. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of hosts, uphold this world in your order. Preserve the church and the preaching of your word against all enemies. Bless our homes, that parents and children may serve one another faithfully and grow in instruction and faith until life's end. Give health and wisdom to all who serve in public office, that their authority may be exercised for the benefit of our people. Protect all expectant mothers and their unborn children, especially Abby LeBaire and Kaylee Phelps. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of hosts, look with kindness on the sick and those in need, especially Janet Lipke, Karen Thiessen, Christopher, Ed Pinard, Alicia Reinhardt, Nancy Roberts, Ted Roberts, David Salcido, Ron Smith, Michelle Studlian, Stan Thompson, Luann Trigo, Carol Wade, Judy Ward, Danielle Weber, and Reverend Dr. Timothy Yaden and Ruth, his wife. And we give you thanks as well for your faithful care for all who have gone through difficult times with health, but especially for the good news received by our sister Donna. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of hosts, be with all who mourn the death of loved ones, especially Dave Farabaugh and his family as they mourn the death of his aunt, that they may find refuge and peace in Christ crucified and risen. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of hosts, give us faith to draw near to your altar in repentance, that we may receive your Son with cleansed hands and purified hearts as he draws near to us in his body and blood. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord of hosts, grant that what we ask from you may not be squandered after our passions, but sought rightly in faith, that we may receive them and put them to service for you and our neighbors, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who out of love for his fallen creation humbled himself by taking on the form of a servant, becoming obedient unto death, even death upon a cross. Risen from the dead, he has freed us from eternal death and given us life everlasting. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Oh,
body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace.
God, for refreshing us with this healing gift, and we pray, Father of mercy, by this holy food make us strong in faith towards you and in deep love for each other, that through us other beloved sinners may kneel to you and receive with us grace and life in Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. The Lord be with you.
Bless be the Lord.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.